that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has rolled around again. And we say good morning, good Saturday morning to you. And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll say good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Lord. The Word says, wherever two or three are gathered in His name, there He is also. So, Heavenly Father, we welcome You here as well. Lord Jesus, join with us today. We welcome You to Coffee with the Wranglers. Guide and direct our thoughts and our words. Let the broadcast be a blessing to Your people, to Your remnant. We don't know where we're going in the broadcast, Lord, so we just ask Your Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us. We thank You for the opportunity to be here. We thank You for the foundation that was laid before us, that we continue to build on. And we ask for Your blessings on the broadcast, whether it's heard live now all across the nation, all across the world, or on the archives later. We do pray that it would be a blessing to Your people, and that it would be a blessing to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, alphabetically, Colorado comes before Wyoming, so we'll start down in Colorado today.
Well, we had quite a tragedy yesterday, or I guess it was Friday night there in Aurora, with that obviously demon possession. Shot up that theater. Reading about it this morning, looks like he had, they say he had four guns and 6,000 rounds or something like that. So, I don't know, did you look into that at all, Jason?
Yeah, I did. It just, you know, you can just definitely tell the guy was he was either a demon or he was completely demon possessed.
Yeah.
He went in and shot over 70 people, killed 14.
Well, right now.
And, you know, there's still several of them, quite a few of them in critical condition, so they don't know what the outcome of that's going to be. And, you know, it was one of those things where a lot of people really didn't know what it was going on. They thought it was part of the movie, the grand finale of the opening of the new Batman movie. And, it happened after midnight down there in, Aurora, Colorado. And it was just a bloodbath. And, you know, I mean, we've seen different things like this happen, and it's always been part of our enemy's plot to, come against guns and to get more gun control. And I think that somehow that ties into it, you know, just one of Satan's plots, because right now we've got so much, things going, trying to happen in Congress and with this UN bill that Obama signed, where they really want to get guns out of people's hands.
Yeah, and they're going to use this big time.
They're going to use this big time. You know, they're already saying that they're not going to, but they are. I mean, because they're liars, and that's what they do.
Yeah. Now, makes you, instead of trying to ban guns over this thing, what they ought to do is promote concealed weapons permits with the emphasis on headshots.
Yeah.
Well, they won't do that, John, because that would be effective.
I know.
And that would work.
Yeah.
And I agree with Jason. It's they'll say that, oh, well, no, this will not lead to more gun control, but it always does.
Yeah.
You know, the abomination will get the families of those people up there and get them brainwashed into thinking that, yeah, we need more gun control. Now, Jason, Aurora is part of the Denver. It's like a suburb of Denver, right?
Yeah.
And doesn't Denver have some of the most restrictive gun control laws already?
Yeah, it does.
I remember you telling me, I thought I remembered you telling me about that one time that, now can you carry concealed in Denver even if you do have a concealed weapons permit, or
I don't know if they've changed it recently. I was told that they have, but I know in the past it was, no, if you were legal to carry in the rest of the state of Colorado, once you got to Denver, it was, you know, you put your gun away and lock it up. Otherwise, they find it and they lock you up and throw you in jail.
Yeah.
It's extremely restrictive. They didn't want to have handguns for a long time were pretty much illegal in the Denver metro area.
Hmm. I actually wonder sometimes, does the government have some way of, or someone have some way of mind control? I know, I'm pretty sure they probably do, but...
Yeah, it's called Satan. And I mean, I know that as far-fetched as that sounds and as sci-fi as that sounds...
Yeah, you're right.
It is almost like he has a button, you know, like when he entered Judas Iscariot, you know, I mean, all of a sudden, okay, it's time, you know, and it's like they've been programmed from a youth up, you know, and...
Estranged from birth, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, they've done so many studies with the mind control stuff for years and years. They had the MKUltra studies back in the 60s. They've had different studies where they've done, and it's been proven that they can do it. Is they can, they can program a person, and then on having a trigger word or a keyword that's spoken to them, unlocks a completely different person, and they go into a different mode where they don't even know who they are, what they're doing. They just know that they've been given a mission, and that's what they do.
Yeah,
and that's been used. That's been used all over the world,
right?
Well,
that movie's supposed to be a dark movie as it is, right? The Dark Knight. And then,
it's not about balloons and sunshine, that's for sure.
Apparently, they're saying there's some scenes in there that are similar to what he did, that the Joker does, and apparently somebody said he had red hair or something, and he was claiming to be the Joker. So I don't know. You haven't heard much about that from the news yet, but yeah. Who knows?
Now, they said they were trying to get into his house, and that his house was all booby trapped.
Yeah, and, but you know what's weird is he just stood there after he did it, put down all his weapons, and I don't know if he took off his gear or what, but So they asked him, and he admitted it, and then he told them that his apartment was booby-trapped. So I don't know. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but nothing really does.
Except for, demon activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, walk through a video store and see, you know, what our society today is absolutely infatuated with, and it's death. It's death and horror. And, you know,
with a lot of these video games. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Same thing.
It is. And that is what is just prevalent. Our enemy has done a good job of doing that, of pushing and promoting. Hollywood knows. I mean, every year the report comes out that says how many movies, you know, how much money the movies made and this and that. And every year, you know, the few, family type movies that don't have all the blood and guts and sex in them consistently make more money than the blood and guts and sex movies.
But it doesn't promote their agenda.
No, it doesn't. That's right. That's right. They have to promote this. We are a defeated and a conquered people. If you've been watching Sunday on church services, you've been seeing the series America the Conquered. And what, Jason, I think we have one more in that series?
Yes.
That we'll get sometime in the next few weeks, not giving dates, but I'm sure we'll get it out sometime. And guys, got the phone ringing. Let's see if we got a caller in this morning. Nope, guess not. I guess we can give the phone line out, 307-745-5913. If you do want to call in, it is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers live July 21st. Maybe this is the caller back. Good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, maybe not. Phone keeps dropping out, so. But it is July 21st, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers coming to you live from a partly cloudy radio ranch. Today's branding day. The cows are up in the pens, and we kind of went through everything. Mr. Kyle went through the chute yesterday to make sure that everything was good and put some new boards up, and so I think we're ready.
Kyle didn't go through that chute. He couldn't fit.
Hey, come on now. The new Kyle can.
I know.
But it is saddened when you think about this here, what, 12, 14 dead, and think of, I mean, the devastation on those families. The pain and the sorrow. And our enemy, they just sleep better at night knowing that they've accomplished something like that.
Yep. Our liberal enemies as well that are trying to take away our guns, you know. They get a high from these kind of things.
They do. Let's try the phone line one more time.
Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys. Spance over here in little Africa, St. Louis. I was watching it yesterday, and a few things bothered me about it. You know, if these towelheads are willing to step on these bombs and stuff and go onto a bomb and blow up a bunch of people and die, you know, wouldn't it work the other way? Would they be willing to lay down their arms, sit next to their car, and then spend the rest of their life in prison just to get more gun control?
Yeah. Interesting point.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that bothered me is one of the reporters was saying that supposedly he bought a bunch of this stuff at Bass Pro Shop. I ain't buying that.
Well,
and then, you know, he lived in the top floor of his apartment, and you're telling me that nobody's seen any of this going on? It doesn't make any sense to me at all, but anyway, I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
All right, Vance. Thanks a lot for the call.
All right. You bet.
You know, you can buy that stuff at Bass Pro. I mean, I already had, you know, handguns. You can legally buy handguns at Bass Pro, and Walmart doesn't carry handguns anymore, I think, but you can go buy a shotgun and rifle and that at Walmart and Bass Pro and those type places.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know what they say, what they're really going to push is the internet stuff, because he said he bought 6,000 rounds on the internet, so.
Right.
That's what they're going to try to shut down.
He's probably not the only one that's done that. either. Let's try the phone lines
again. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, this is Chris in Virginia. I was listening to Alex Jones yesterday. You know, he may or may not be telling the truth, but he said that man was a member of a he was working under a government program for investigating mind-machine interfaces. And, of course, Alex Jones naturally took the tack that because of that he was under government control and the government mind control. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it certainly does seem real convenient that it shows up just before they're trying to pass a UN treaty to take all our guns away, you know?
Yep, that's an interesting point.
Good point, Chris.
All right, well, I'll be listening. Good day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And I guess it's phone day today because the phone lines are still ringing up like a blinking neon light, so we'll try to stay with them.
Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Am I on?
Yes, good morning.
Well, hi, this is Tim, the truck driver. I just can't help but think that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And if we believe that and pray that, this will work against them.
Well, Tim, you're absolutely right in that. That is what the Bible says, that no weapon formed against us will stand, and that greater is he that's for us than anything that can come against us.
And amen, brother.
As people, we do have to remember that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
You know, it is true. There's, you know, let's take the law of praying for the sick. It says, if you pray for the sick, they shall recover. It doesn't leave room for doubt. But we all know through our past history that sometimes you pray for the sick and they don't recover. And so we all say, well, it just wasn't God's timing. I mean, it was God's timing to take them, or we say whatever we want. But the fact of the matter is there's other laws that sometimes overproceed certain laws. And it could be the simple law of, listen, Israel, your watchmen went to sleep, they're blind dogs, and that's the way you want it. And, you know, and there's consequences for that. So yes. even though you have these laws, like Tim just read, it's the truth, it's the absolute truth. But yet, you've did so much in your life that you have to suffer a certain amount of consequences because that's also God's law.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I hope that makes a little bit of sense, but that's why sometimes it doesn't appear like it's true. But it is true. It's absolutely true.
It is.
But there's just more to it than one verse or one, you know, one line to follow. You know, I mean, there's, you know, how many times did we all hear through the years the pastor read Isaiah 51? Awake, awake, Israel. You know, me and Jason were talking about this the other day, you know, and, you know, you get all these nut jobs out there from other races, other nationalities. The ones that really bug me are our own people who they're asleep. They got blinders on. They can't tell the difference between the clean and the unclean, the circumcised and the uncircumcised, you know, and that is a cause and effect for the way it is right now, you know. Anyway, just thought of that.
I've got Deuteronomy 28 here, and Deuteronomy 28:1 says, "Now it shall be if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth." And verses 2 through 14, you know, 14 ends up, don't turn aside from the word, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, and that means don't go and be like all the other people of the world. And then in verse 15 it says, "But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes with which you are charged today. All these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And the first one is, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. And because we as a people...
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times you'll live the last 5 years, 10 years, last 20 years maybe of your life, probably as good as you possibly could have, maybe. Let's even say that. But what about the first 30 years or the first 20 years? You know, I mean, there's still a cause and effect. You know, there is still. You know, and that's not to say that it's not worth trying and it's not worth praying for and it's not, that's not that at all. It's just there's some stuff here that's taken place in this country that, like I said, the prophets prophesied falsely. They were asleep. They were like dumb dogs, and the people loved to have it so.
Mm-hmm.
So wake up.
Yep. Well, and just like that scripture that they, you know, were quoting, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And, you know, you really have to read the rest of that scripture. That scripture is found in Isaiah 54:17. And it says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You know, and that's what it was to. It was to the heritage, the offspring, the descendants of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. So it was for a certain people. It wasn't for everybody.
Yes.
It was for the offspring. It was an inheritance that was passed down to the servants of the Lord, which is a genetic people. It is a group of people, and that's a promise to a certain group of people. You can't use that as a blanket promise, as the Bible says, this, because you got to take it into its whole context.
Yes.
Right, and to prove that point, Jason, in Isaiah 41:8, he says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And then in 42:19-21, it says, who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. I mean, that's right. I mean, all this is for one people. I mean, the other people can get blessed from it, but it's for one people.
Guys, let's try the phone.
Hello.
Good morning. Hello. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Is that me?
That's you, ma'am, yes.
Okay, hi. My name's Rebecca. I wanted to speak to praying for the sick and not recovering, and then the other brother said diligently obey all of the Lord's commandments. And I find that we as God's people have strayed very, very far. I'm really not familiar with the dietary observations of, you know, the Pastor Peter's group of believers. I just started listening to you. But we eat pork in abundance. We have, we pig out on scavenger food such as crab, lobster. I mean, they're considered delicacies. Shrimp, oysters, mussels. These are all scavenger foods which in the Holy Word we were forbidden from eating. And, we eat them, and they're promoted. I don't know if the Jews are part of that promotion, but, you know, it's obvious. And also we take more than a little honey. I cannot remember the scripture at this point, but he says, take a little honey for thy stomach's sake. And I believe it's in Proverbs. But we eat a lot of sugar in this country, and when you pray for somebody who's sick and they're not recovering, it's because we are disobeying God's word, I believe, and eat such abominable food and don't exercise. I mean, Jesus walked everywhere he went. He didn't get in the car to go down to the mailbox. He walked everywhere he went. Average was 20 miles a day back in those days. But I think if we seek to obey the word, exercise, eat properly, eliminate the toxins, that are promoted widely from, you know, the enemy, by the enemy, that we will see more recovery in, due to our prayers for our brothers and sisters. And I guess that's about all I have to say. Thank you.
I think we agree with everything you said, Rebecca.
I mean, I think so. And it works physically, in the physical, like that. You know, a computer. Garbage in, you get garbage out. You know?
Right.
And it's the same way in our physical bodies. Well, but you know, it's the same way spiritual as well.
When I said you can't we don't recognize the clean and unclean, absolutely the Bible food laws is part of that. You know, and the sin in the land and everything else. You know, I mean, it's there's clean and there's unclean people, there's clean and there's unclean acts, and we as a people have failed to recognize it or do anything about it. And there's consequences. Just like the physical body that you're talking about, the spiritual body is the same. There's consequences.
Well, I think we have to have a strong mind and a strong spirit to stand against the onslaught of stuff like Obamacare. I'm 68 years old. I live on a very limited income. I haven't been to a doctor for 35 years. I mean, I haven't been to a doctor. Well, since I had my last child, actually, that would be 24.
Well, praise
the
Lord.
But he just observed. And I don't use drugs. You know, like, I haven't taken an aspirin since my mother gave me one when I was a kid. Because they're poisonous. I mean, aspirin has certain properties that are available naturally. But what I'm saying is, I am going to be forced to pay for this garbage that I can't really afford. I mean, I spend a lot of money on my natural herbs. I've just moved to an area where I can now grow them myself, and I hope to do that. But if I'm forced to buy or purchase or have this Obamacare stuff, I won't be able to afford the food that I need to buy. I mean, I have a real, real limited income. And it's because I was a mother who stayed at home for 30 years and homeschooled all five of my children, and I just don't have any Social Security. You know, you don't work, you don't get Social Security. And so I may have to, at 68 years old, go out and get a job, which is okay. I don't mind working. But I'd rather spend time helping my brother promote the Word of God and have a garden where I can feed him and myself good, healthy, clean food. But what was my point there? I'm sorry.
I don't know, but I can hear the same argument being said in Egypt many years ago when they came to him and said, guess what the government's making us do now? You know, and our tally of bricks cannot diminish.
And we have to gather our own straw.
And what did they do? They cried out to the Lord. And that's, you know, I mean, as simple as that sounds, we're not doing that as a people. We're not crying out to our Lord.
Right, and I liked, just before you guys came on, you played the tape or CD, whatever it's called, by Pastor Peters, where he told the story of the bowlers who gathered in a circle and prayed against the Zulus. And are we hearing that anywhere in the land? Gather together and, okay, we're going to declare another day of holiness where we believe that if we stand together, we are going to overcome this. I mean, national prayer, I guess you would call it. Is that available to us through the Scriptures for America ministry?
Well, that's actually interesting that you brought that up, because we've been talking about it somewhat, of calling a solemn assembly at this next gathering that we're planning this this winter. So, yeah, we definitely are working on that. We have had it in the past. Pastor Peters had one, oh, I think probably about 16, 18 years ago. And it's about time that we have another. There's those that say that, you know, we shouldn't be trying to save this perverse generation, and in a way they're right, but the problem is, you know, indignation's gonna run its course, and, we have to
even us as a people, although we try to live godly lives, we need to cry out, seek God's face, humble ourselves and pray. And that's what the theme is that we're leaning towards right now for that next gathering. So, Lord willing, that's the road we're heading down.
I'm wondering if we could get more of that thought into the live broadcast that you gentlemen do Saturdays, because it's so encouraging to know that there is a group of people who really stand strong, and hey, I can unite with them, if not physically, because where's the solemn assembly going to be? Colorado? I don't know if I can make
it
there.
Yeah, in Colorado. We're not going to really disclose the location right now because our enemies do everything they can to shut down every time we try to get our people together, so.
Right, but, you know, for that very reason, hey, you know, you can't be here physically. This is exactly when it's going to happen, and this is what we're going to be praying, and, you know, you can download this sheet, print it out, so you can be part of us when that happens, even if you can't be here physically, because just to unite spiritually like that.
Well, Lord willing, we'll try to stream it, too, so those that listen can participate, you know, on with us on the internet. And this is not going to be, we're not playing church, you know, this is going to be a day of fasting and prayer and prostrating ourselves.
100%.
Prostrating ourselves to Christ and just, you know, praying that He finds us worthy to escape the things that are coming, because they're coming.
Right. Well, I will certainly continue to listen. My brother listens every day. And if you're not on the air, he's playing older broadcasts, and I'm learning so, so much. And I'm grateful that you have the ministry, and maybe sometime when I get a little bit ahead, I can send some donations to help. But as it is, I can pray.
That's what we need.
Powerful tool.
Well, amen. So
thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you.
Thank you. We need more like you.
Amen. Amen. And we still have a caller here. Caller, are you on the air? Still there?
Yes.
Hey, thank you.
Yes,
thanks for waiting. Good morning.
Oh, morning to you guys, too. Listen, about this Columbine.
Yeah, similar, isn't it?
Where is that, Colorado? I don't even...
Yeah.
I just heard about it yesterday evening.
It's not that far from Columbine, I don't believe. Aurora.
Oh,
and,
boy.
I mean, they're both just outside of Denver.
It kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? Colorado's, that part of Colorado being... you know, college country and all, pretty good recruitment grounds for just about anything. A little bit of scripture, if I could. There's a passage in Proverbs, 21st chapter. It says, the exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is terror to the workers of iniquity. And another one is... in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 15 and 21, a single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. And 21 says, thus you shall show no pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And I think this would clear up a lot of what we're seeing in the land.
Well, it would if we would do that as a people.
Yeah.
And it is, the government's role to follow the laws, statutes, and judgments as a whole, just as it is, you know, our responsibility to do that.
If there were, you know, lawmen out, I think there should be a lot more in the way of lawmen who have the law in their heart, not law enforcement, but and judges in abundance as well, and local judges, so that when the lawman hears about an incident like this, he grabs a couple of armed citizens, goes down and subdues the suspect, and asks around for two or three witnesses, and then he takes them by the scruff of the neck and brings them down to the judge. And right then and there, they ask around, establish the incident and immediately take justice in hand. But with this centralized government and just us system, it's kind of hard to do that. So,
yep.
Well, I'll be listening in. Thanks for everything, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Kyle, you look like you got something on your mind.
No, just listening to Joe, but we're all supposed to be that. We're all supposed to have that law of God on our hearts and our minds. And we're all, you know, if somebody does something against me or mine, then, you know, I'm supposed to have the right to go and cast the first stone. If that's what's...
Not only the right, but the responsibility.
Absolutely. Unless I'm in sin of it myself, you know, and then that all of a sudden that's going to change things a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I agree with what Joe's saying at all, except I might not agree with the individual judges and stuff, because we're supposed to live that kind of life. You know, I mean, somebody steals your horse, there's a consequence for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not your horse. Let's say he stole my horse. It's not your horse. You're not the one that has the right to go get the horse back, or else, you know, make him pay restitution for it or whatever. I mean, that would be mine, you know. And if we had the laws of God on our hearts and our minds, then we'd be able to go out and be able to do this, you know. Of course, obviously, the ungodly government won't let you do that. But first place, we all need the laws of God on our hearts and minds. We need to get clean. We need to get branded like we're going to do the cows today. That's how it's done.
That's right. We should be in this culture of life, which is here in this Bible, versus that culture of death that the society puts out, you know, for us and especially for our youth.
Yeah. Going along with that, I mean, you know, we've done a lot of imprecatory prayers over the years, and but the thing is, people who pray those, you better make sure that your life's right with God if you pray those, because it can just as easily come back on you, along with the theme of we're not playing church here. So God's going to get the sin out of the camp one way or the other.
That's true. You know, and that's the whole point by you who without sin cast the first stone.
Yeah.
You better get sin out of your life and be in Christ, and, you know, and then you're under a different jurisdiction, you know, as we've taught many times, as Peter taught for 30-some years, you know, that...
Get the log out of your eye before you worry about this.
Absolutely, and that's done through the redemption process. You know, Peter was showed a big net of all kinds of unclean, foul, four-footed beasts, creeping, crawling things that was us. Now, they didn't know it was us,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Israel was lost. But that was us, you know, and to become unclean, to become clean, I should say, and become circumcised again, you had to go through the redemption process. He had to buy you back, and then you became the precious ones of Israel again. I mean, and without that, you are the four-footed beasts and the creepy crawling things and the fowls of the air, you know, and it,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you go into Romans and it tells you, well, in Hebrews 5, it tells you that you got to practice, you know, you've got to exercise yourself so you can discern good from evil. And that's, so you can discern people like this guy in Colorado, you know, whether he was, you know, had a microchip in his head or was hypnotized or he was just demon possessed, like has been said, it doesn't really matter. They have signs. You know, they all have signs. Are they clean or are they unclean? But we refuse as a people to recognize that.
Yeah. Well, on another note, I've been convicted as of late to, I've been buying a bunch of old books. Specifically, I bought a Bible from the 1800s on eBay, and just spent a little bit of time in it last night, And it's amazing, but back in those days, I think there wasn't the opposition against Christ. These Bibles are beautiful, hand-tooled leather Bibles with, you know, unbelievable illustrations and pictures, and if you read like the introduction and things like that, this was back when we had a God-fearing people, and this Bible was the center of their homes. And of course that was before TV and radio and everything else, but stay tuned, because there's a whole lot of lessons in these older books and these Bibles for our people, and I think the Holy Spirit's led us to these. I'm looking forward to showing Richard and Kyle, and Jason and I were looking at some stuff yesterday that was just phenomenal. There's an introduction picture with Moses standing with his staff on one side and Jesus on the other side with his hands open, and guess what he's stepping on? A snake in the picture. You know, from 1890. So, looking forward to getting into the realm of some of this information that's been kept from us and removed from society. Because I'll tell you right now, the Bibles of today don't have anything of what's in this Bible.
No. No, everything now is the 30-second daily devotional. You know, the 30-second prayer. You know, you can say your prayers, have your devotionals, read your Bible, and be done in 35 seconds and still have time to just get right to work.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is set up that way now, you know, just for the sound bites, because that's where the attention span of the people are.
Right. Think of this, though. You got a book that's 4 inches thick. And in that day, I was talking to Jason. He knows about printing now. But you realize that they had to take every single letter and lay it up for every single page. It had to take years, 5, 10 years to print something like this. And then the pictures are so beautiful that they put tissue paper in there just to protect the picture from bleeding onto the page next to it. I mean, you talk about care. It's like they each one of these was blessed, and the country was blessed, obviously. And just the wording in there is phenomenal.
Well,
how about it, Jason?
Oh yeah, it is. You know, it's just amazing to look at, to see how much work and time and effort. And I remember reading years and years ago about you know, them putting together some of these Bibles, and you know, when the printing press, the production press came along, it was really quite something. And that's, you know, it was mainly designed originally to print Bibles, and they, you know, they had a limited number of letters and characters, so they had to, you know, print a certain part of it, then relay it up, and you know, there was no plate, there was no, you know, for making a template for putting these together. It was, you were using actual typeset letters.
Yeah, the work that
quite
was
interesting.
The work that was involved is just unbelievable. You know, the people just take it for granted today. But John, you know, when you described that, and Jason, when you did, and you know, the time and care that it took to do that, what you're describing in that beautiful Bible, and I think you said you could just tell the blessings that went into putting that together.
It's a work of love, yeah.
It is, but you're describing our culture.
I know.
That's part of our culture. You know, people don't, Kyle had mentioned earlier about, you know, that we are the ones that have this obligation. You know, there's only been one people that have heard the call of the Great Commission and have, you know, at least as far as it's been done, you know, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's only been one people that have done that, and it's the same people, John, that took the time, that dedicated lives to putting that old Bible that you bought together.
Yeah.
You know, those type things. And it used to be part of it. That was our culture. Now, our culture has been destroyed. Our people have no idea about that part of our culture. you know, but they know about the, you know, the tattooing and the body scarring of the Zulu culture.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and we know those kind of cultures, and we know about the Chinese culture, but our
you read this in this day, you know, back in the early 1800s or late 1800s even, I don't think they questioned whether there was a God or not. There was a God. And these pictures, they should be in the children's books of today, because the pictures depicting the demons, you know, coming down onto the people and the earth swallowing. You know, and a picture's like a thousand words, but these pictures are scary.
There's pictures in there that are worth 10,000 words. I mean, yeah. It's amazing. And then you look at, you know, a lot of that's just been completely taken away from our people, you know, and they've discouraged, and they've, you know, they've taken that kind of stuff out of the Bibles and out of the Christian books, and then they've had to find something to replace it. And it's just a, you know, teeter-totter effect on, you know, okay, you take them away, take away this good, clean, you know, Christian entertainment, and that's what people used to do. They used to read their Bibles. They used to look at the pictures in their Bibles.
Yeah.
And that's been taken away from them, and they've replaced it with, you know, nothing but a bunch of garbage.
Yeah. I've never seen these pictures before. Have you, Jason?
No. Well, not the ones in those Bibles. I've seen a lot of old pictures, but nothing like that.
Yeah, but I mean, to this degree, to this quality, and I don't know. It's just, you know, it's been removed from us. I was reading, even, this is in the Bible, there's a instance of a cardinal and I don't know, somebody else, I think it was a pope or something, that in 1535, when they printed the first English Bible in England, this guy was a wealthy man, and he pulled out all the stops and hired people to go and make sure that every single copy, all 1500 copies, to try to wipe it off the face of the earth, was bought back, no matter what the cost, and burnt every one of them. So, I never heard that before. Have you?
Yeah, the history of the Bible being printed, that was you know, when especially the English Bible became available to the common man, even just not individually, but you could say the common church, the common gathering. You know, that, I mean, it's things like that that led to, you know, the Reformation and the big changes, of the, in the changes in the Catholic Church, you know, because before it was the only thing that people knew about it was what they were told.
Right. I imagine it was quite an investment in the day too. I bet your family saved and scrimped and cut, and so that they could afford, you know, a quality family Bible, because this is the legacy of their people. You know, this is the true Word of God, and this was the representation of their lives.
Yes.
You know,
and
their marriages, their deaths, their births. I mean, this was the true documentation of their family name.
It was. And again, it was.
Well, it was the law, and it's interesting because you, even in today's society, if you take a birth or a death that was recorded in a family Bible, that's a law. You can use that as legal identification.
One thing I found real interesting is we battled, you know, Social Security numbers and all that stuff. They accept that family Bible is a legal form of, at least they did, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, the legal form of identification.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Babylon, you know. Hello?
Yep. Pause for a drink. Coffee time.
But yeah, we look excited about revealing a lot of these, Lord willing, pictures and stories that are been taken away from our people. I also was able to, I won a book on the Titanic and tragic sea stories from 1912 that gives actual accounts of people who survived that tragedy, and there's a lot of biblical teaching in that book too. So
John, it sounds like you're going to have the local Sunday school for a couple of weeks and sharing some of that with us on Sunday mornings.
That's a possibility. Kind of afraid to bring his Bible in, though, and have a bunch of people looking through it because it's 100-some years old.
Oh. So you tease us. You tell us all about these great pictures and all the story, and then you're not going to bring it to church.
No, I'll bring it, but I ain't going to pass it around, I'll tell you that much. I want it to be an heirloom in my family for the next several generations, Lord willing.
Well, good.
But those books are out there, and they're available, and they're, you know what, they're affordable. So if you got a little extra money and you want to learn some of the secrets that have been taken away from our people, they're available out there.
Yeah, you know, you take it all the way back to even the beginning, or at least the founding of this nation, the Mayflower Compact. You know, that's part of the history, part of our culture that's been taken away. Those people braved the seas in that little boat and came all the way over here to further the Christian lifestyle.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too when you see them God. when they first hit the shores. Like there's some pictures of Christopher Columbus and things like that. First thing they do is hit their knees, take off their hat, and bow their head.
Yeah. Hey, see if we got time for one more caller here.
Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Chris in Virginia again. John might take some photographs with a digital camera of those things in the Bible, carvings and drawings, and that would save his book from being harmed to pass around, you know?
That's the plan. We're going to try to share as much of this information as we can with the remnant.
And as regarding Christopher Columbus breaking down on his knees, I was in the Navy for 7 years, and quite frankly, when you get off a ship sometimes, that's all you got strength left to do is fall on your knees, because that ocean can be right rough.
Amen, Chris. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Chris.
Good night.
All right. Well, men, we're kind of wrapping up another Saturday morning coffee. You guys can't go back to bed this morning, though. Can't go back to sleep. You got to come on down to the ranch and
we never go back to bed.
Right. Okay. Well, good. Good. Then don't do it again today. But that's what we're doing. You've heard the pastor in the past talk about branding the cows, and the reason that we do that is so when people look at them, you can tell whose they are. And we talked a little bit about that this week on the radio. You know, what brand do you carry? You know, when people see you, can they tell that you carry the brand of the world? Because you're friends with the world and with everything in it, and you embrace it, the world and the sin that's in it. Or when people see you, do they see that brand that Christ has on you? When they see how you react to situations, when they see how you deal with people and just how your life is, you know, what brand does the world see on you?
Yep. So many people have been branded with tattoos of ungodly, representations, and I'm pretty sure that's probably just another conduit to demons, wouldn't you say?
I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah. One of many. One of many. So, well, we always try to invite you to church before we wrap up our Coffee with the Wranglers, and so we'll do that right now. We do invite you to come to church with us tomorrow, 10 o'clock Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Mountain. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast. And you can do that by coming to scriptures4america.org. That's scriptures4america.org. And if you'll come there 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Mountain Time, we'll have a scriptural insight and study, a little Sunday school type class for you. And then we'll have John there. We'll do a welcome and you could see John, and then we'll have some good music. I'm sure that Shane and I will be there, have some good music. You can enjoy us or join us there. we'll have a communion message. And have we got Jason in on the communion rotation yet, Kyle?
Just Branson.
I think we need to. I think we need to. He brought such a good message there, a good communion message there in Branson. So, Jason, get ready. I think we got it covered tomorrow, but you got to get ready and get in the rotation there. And then we'll have a, we will have a timeless pulpit message from the pastor. And so we do invite you to join us there if you can. And, if you don't have, internet, you can listen. It will be here on the shortwave as well. So
let's pray.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord. We don't know the situation down there in Colorado, but you do. And Lord, we pray that you comfort those that are yours. Let them know you're in charge and that all things work for good for those that love you, abide in you, and are called by your purpose. We come against any demonic, satanic spirits, any of those that are estranged from birth, those sons of hell, those sons of the devil, and we bind them right now. And we come against these liberal antichrists, those that hate you, those that would come against your people, and we bind them right now, that this would be nothing but good for your people, that they wouldn't even gain one little bit towards their agenda of disarming the American people. Lord, we bind them, cast them to your feet to be dealt with any way you see fit. And Lord, we loose the Holy Spirit. We pray for the Holy Spirit. Give us more Holy Spirit, Lord. Wake up your people all across this country. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear. Let them see and hear the truth. The truth that no king but King Jesus. There's no way out of this thing but repent. Convict them to pray 2 Chronicles 7:14. When my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. See you guys at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move
them
out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.